Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Phil Neal, Kevin Cameron here, coming to you live from Peterson Events Center on a momentous day. The first African-American basketball coach for men has been hired and is on the set.
You know, when I met with Heather and Chance Gallagher, you know, I felt how genuine they are. I felt, you know, vision. I could see the vision. Just what they thought. I mean, they sold me on the university, on the city, on the people, and what we would like collectively our basketball program to become.
Just to reiterate, not to be redundant, you're in a position now where a lot of people across the country will be paying attention to you. So any more comments to further that?
No, I mean, I'm going to be me. And I want to be an example to everyone, certainly to African Americans, especially young African American men. We need a lot of examples, and positive examples, positive role models. And there are a lot out there that you don't see them all the time. And so I understand the position that I'm in, and I just want to be an example. And I do that by being me. That's what my dad taught me every day. And that's who I'm most comfortable doing, being me.
I couldn't be more excited for him as an individual, as a coach. You know, he comes from Duke, and coaching basketball will be the easy part for him, to be sure. But there's some other things going on here that he'll have to wrestle with. But first, let me introduce you to the legendary Sam Clancy, Sam Bam Clancy, if you will. When I write about him, I recognize him as the greatest physical force that Pitt basketball has ever known. So, Sam, what does this day mean? You were here 2 years ago on a day similar to this that didn't go so well. So what's your feelings now?
Oh, well, I think it's awesome, though. You know, for one, as you mentioned, the first African-American head basketball coach at the University of Pittsburgh there. But not only did that, though, but his record, I mean, what he's done, what he has accomplished as a coach, period, means a whole lot. I look at our young man who was here last year on our basketball staff, and I looked at when he got finished speaking with them or speaking about them, I look at the smile on their face, a smile that we didn't see too much last year, and partly because of we didn't win any games in the ACC, though. But I think that they believe in his vision. I think they believe in him. And I think that as a university, from this press conference, I believe him that he can go out and get some top recruits to come in here, because I'm ready to suit it right now and pray for him, because I mean, that's the kind of person that he came off on that podium of being.
And I'm sure he'd love to have you. Now, Kev, have you been on record to say the talent that was here last year, wave in comparison, just not up to snuff, not very good, and we weren't trying to be damaging or embarrassing to the young men, but they just weren't ACC caliber. Now, how do you see what happened here today changing that?
Well, first of all, it's great to have Coach Capels here. One of the main things that he talked about was having players on the team that is a good fit, and he's a great fit for the university as well. And as Sam indicated, it's all about bringing the right players in with the right talent to start to turn this thing around. And based on his track record, I definitely believe that he could do it.
In a matter of time. And if you all noticed, he didn't finger anybody out or figure anybody in. He simply said it needs to be the right fit. So let the chips fall where they may.
And he said, hey, you know, he said, guys got to buy in for the team. You know, you got to play their role for the team, though. And I thought that was important, though, for guys, because some guys still, you know, some of the guys who might have been a starter, if they decide to stay, might not be a starter next year, though. But if you put in the team first, then we can have some success.
And coming home is what he's going to be doing. Well, his new home, anyway. Coach Jeff Capel is the new head basketball coach, Pitt University. First African-American head basketball coach in Pitt University history. It's worth noting, and it's worth applauding. And we interviewed the coach, and we interviewed the great Sam Bam Clancy. And of course, when I introduced Sam, I introduced him as the most physically dominating force in Pitt University history. And I told Sam going in that I would not say what I always say, which is Sam Clancy's uniform needs to be retired and hanging in the rafters. But anybody that knows basketball, anybody that knows Pitt basketball, anybody that knows Sam Clancy knows he didn't do damage to Patrick Ewing and the likes once or twice. He did it to them regularly. And he is the most dominant physical force in Pitt University history. His shirt should be retired. You guys should dig in. Darrell probably knows this. You'd be surprised at the record Sam Clancy still holds. I believe he's still number 11 or 12 in the nation in rebounding. All-American status, Pan-American games. I mean, his accomplishments are phenomenal. And then you add to that a 15-year NFL football career. They should be hanging that shirt up tomorrow morning. But all that being said, coming back to Darrell Porter, that your view on, I'm going to give you a tough question here, where the program is coming from and where it's going. So you got to talk a little bit about, you're an alum, you're a top-level alum. What happened in that hire? What caused the only team in Division I basketball not to win a conference game? The only team in Division I basketball not to win a conference game, and where is that program heading?
I'll tell
is
you.
That, is that male or female?
Well, that's male. That's all.
That's male. Okay.
I'm not sure if it includes female or not, but you want to add insult to injury? Is that what you're trying to?
I'm just trying to set the record straight.
I mean, know? Rock's about to leave. Now you want Darrell to leave? Or is that you just want to run all of our guests out of here?
No, he probably got some more information inside.
Well, I'll tell you, the program is definitely on some hard times right now. A few years ago when Jamie was here, we were an NCAA tournament team. It was almost guaranteed we were winning 25 games. A lot of people didn't like his style, but I loved his results. When they made the coaching change, it wasn't because the team wasn't doing well. It was because the coach decided to take a job somewhere else. When we came in and with Stallings, I said, you always give a coach a few years. And unfortunately, after a couple of years, it didn't look too good. And we're looking to climb back up. We're at the bottom of the ACC now. We're looking to climb back up. And the good thing about basketball is you get a couple of players, it could be a big change. One or two big-time players could make a big difference in basketball.
Do you share the blame any way, shape, or form? I mean, certainly many people attributed Kevin Stallings literally throwing players under the bus, verbiage in press conference and after the games, to which I witnessed, and he did. Probably not intentionally, but he did it nonetheless and didn't shoulder enough of the blame as the coach. Do you also blame the lack of talent that was on the bench? I mean, no horse that can't run ever won the Kentucky Derby, so he could only play with what he had. How do you level that off?
Well, I think that when he first got there, the cupboard wasn't bare. They had some players who were coming back from making all ACC when Jamie was there. And unfortunately, a different style, a different system, you don't get the same results. I was thinking, it's a home run. They'll come in, win their 25 games, make it to the NCAA tournament. And then once those guys leave, then we'll see what he really can do. Unfortunately, they got off to a great start, and then
The Duquesne loss. I attribute the Duquesne loss to the start of the decline. And help me with the name of the other – the two key players last year were
– Young
and
– Artis.
So Artis is the guy that I want to make mention of. If you recall, he got benched against Duquesne in the city game. And I remember saying to some friends, unless he mugged a nun in a back alley and left her – to walk home barefooted, you can't bench this guy in the Duquesne game. Whatever he's done, you got to punish him next week. Lo and behold, they lose that game to Duquesne, and I thought that was the beginning of the end for that regime.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, when he sat out, I was thinking, well, we have enough talent, we can still beat him, and didn't work out that way. And people play different ways when they play for different people. One of the things I was disappointed in is those guys played good defense under Jamie, and then it wasn't as good the next year. They didn't just forget how to play defense.
I take umbrage with, and of course you're the only, I suspect, the only Pitt University basketball playing graduate to coach Duquesne basketball. And B.B. Flannery is still losing sleep over that move. So you coached Division I basketball.
And we beat Pitt when I was there. That was the first time they beat Pitt since I was coaching.
Okay, so that all counts.
They took me out the record books. I was in there for a while.
So you're in both record books, right?
Yeah.
But I disagree with the other thing that was being offered, that those guys were selfish, that the team that Jamie left for him were selfish. I thought they were wounded. I thought they were offended, and I dare say hurt, and that's why they stopped producing the way they could have.
Well, I can tell you this. They had two of the top five scorers in the ACC. And usually when you score a lot of points, you play a little bit more selfish. You take more shots than the other guys. I think it was more the defensive end. And then injuries. When Luther got hurt, kind of messed up the rotation, and they never recovered after that. I think they might have lost 6-7 games in a row after he was out. He was a glue guy who did a lot of the things that people might not notice but helps the team win. And they struggled.
So now the new sheriff in town. So again, maybe two more hard questions for you. What does he do with the players that decide to stay? That can't be easy for him or the players. And what does he do to resurrect this team?
Well, the climate of college athletics, or particularly basketball, is so many people transfer now. You might have a different team every year. Kentucky might have a different team every year because people go pro, but some other guys, they got to put together a team because when people aren't happy, they try to transfer. So hopefully it won't take long. Hopefully a couple of the guys will buy into what Coach Capel is preaching, and they'll develop as players, and we can get on our winning ways.
Any word as to who's staying? You can't say.
Well, I wish Cameron Johnson would have stayed.
You can't say at this point. All right, I won't put you on that spot. Well, Kev, when you and I interviewed Sam Clancy at the press conference, Sam made reference to how excited he was about the new coach, even to the point that he was ready to suit up on the spot himself. So what did you take from the whole press conference and the new coach?
These are exciting times for Pitt basketball. I'm very impressed with Jeff Capel. I think he's the right man for the job. There's two factors, and I brought these factors up before regarding Pitt basketball being effective. Number one, you have to understand the ACC. And that's why I feel this was a great hire. This is someone that played in the ACC, coached in the ACC, had previous head coaching positions. He was young when he took on those positions. Now he's older and went back and actually learned from one of the best coaches in basketball, Coach K. And then number two, and we talked about this a little bit previously as well, the talent. You have to, in order to be effective in college athletics, you have to be able to recruit. So I'm not sure, it doesn't matter what sport you look at. If it's football, baseball, basketball, you have to be able to recruit. And from what I understand, he's one of the best recruiters around. So based on just those two factors alone, I believe that this was a very good choice, and Jeff Capel will be effective at the University of Pittsburgh. So I feel very good about it.
And Darrell, what you imagine, Trev just handed me a note that Wilson Frame has committed to staying, and Shamil has agreed to stay, both of whom I like. I had a chance to talk with Wilson Frame. He's bigger close up than he looks from a distance. I remind you of a tight end to be, as a matter of fact. I suspect he's 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
But he probably goes about 210, I would bet. You know, he's a thick brother. Can jump, can play, but he's mature. He's strong-minded. And Shamil, reminded me of maybe a little bit more fluid Chevy Troutman, a Chevy Troutman type body, but a little more fluid. I think they both have talent potential to be brought to the table, and I think they can both be helpful to this team. But I'll pose this question to you, Dap. I think too that, and just out of left field, if the coach, the ninth or tenth guy at Duke, who may never get to the floor as a player at Duke, could come to Pitt and start. Safe to say?
In the current situation, yes.
In the current situation. So maybe he, I don't know. Maybe
but that ninth player is a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. So maybe steals not a good word, but
influence a few people to come.
Very well put. You know, that could be a start. Well, you know, Rock, you're looking at me when I said steal's not a good word, and I know you're thinking what I'm thinking. Did Aliquippa steal Tony Dorsett?
Here we go.
Who actually went to Hopewell. Did they steal Tony Dorsett and say he went to Aliquippa because
yes.
Hopewell's next to Aliquippa?
Yes.
So you and I were thinking the same thing when I said that.
But that's not
what we're talking about.
When you
that's
don't have what, the right information,
that's not
you provide the wrong information.
I asked our guest a question.
I can't help it because we have so much talent that comes from Aliquippa. And now you're trying to take one away.
And if that's true, why do you have to steal somebody else's?
That's my whole point.
From Hopewell.
That's my whole point.
His birth certificate says Hopewell. He doesn't say Aliquippa.
Not at all. He went to Hopewell High School, but
birther.
He's from Aliquippa.
I'm a birther. So anyway, we got off the subject.
And he's a Pitt alum, right?
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Well, there's connecting the dots. So that being said, and then if he, as you just alluded to, if he goes out and gets, let's say he goes and gets one guy 6'9", 6'10", that can really play. And, that could change things considerably.
One player can change a lot. And some players are worth five games or six games. And what I mean by that is if you're 5-15, then you might be 10-10 with that player.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you're 12-10, you're 17-7 or something like that. So one player, five games could –
Can't,
make or break.
Do you think, I know we talked about Sean Miller earlier, do you think there's a possibility that we could get some players from Arizona, given what's going on in Arizona?
Well, when you transfer, you have to sit out.
Under certain situations, right?
Right, but one of the situations that you could
there's
transfer
some situations
under and play is you move back for family reasons. So they might only have one or two people close enough to say you're moving back for family reasons because a lot of their players are from California.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, it's similar
but
to...
But there are some circumstances where you can transfer and play immediately.
Yeah, because it's similar to a situation with Jeter that played for Pitt.
Right.
Beaver Falls, where he transferred and came to Pitt.
No,
I'm saying he played. I'm not sure how long he sat out.
Well, he actually didn't sit out. He had to go to junior college.
Okay.
And then come to Pitt. But he didn't play at the junior college because Stallings didn't release him. So there's some other rules
right.
that play in. And then to answer your question about some Duke players, usually if you transfer within conference, you got to sit out 2 years. So I don't think that that's
But Arizona. I was talking about Arizona.
Well, I'm glad you pointed that out. I didn't realize that. So
right.
if it's interconference, you got to sit out too. So that really stops you from raiding the chicken's in. So but imagine in a flashback moment how big a man Jeter had to be to swallow what he had to swallow and play based on what you just said.
Well, I can tell you this. In the media, it went over smooth. Behind the scenes, I don't know how smooth
it was. It was terror, huh?
Jeter made it look like let bygones be got bygones. He really did.
He's a good kid. And he just put his career there and figured out, well, he couldn't transfer again.
Right.
And he made the
sucked
the,
it up.
The best out of it, yeah.
And he's playing overseas now.
But you got to remember, when he played for Jamie, not Stallings. So he had to go to junior college because Vanderbilt wouldn't release him.
Right.
sat out. Then he came play for Jamie, and then Stallings came in when Jamie left. So strange. The guy who wouldn't let him leave, now he's his coach. So it was he matured a lot to
so
deal with that.
You're saying he was following him?
No. It just so happened that the job came available. Nobody thought the pit job was going to be available. They thought Jamie would be there for a while. Yeah. And then when he decided to leave, he came here. It was something that they had.
It really sounds like harassment to a certain extent, don't you think?
Well, all I can say is before he got here, they won 20-something games and we was an NCAA tournament.
Well, and having there's a reason he's gone.
And having said that, yeah. It was almost as if a dark cloud had been lifted from over the Peterson Event Center at that press conference. And we do want to applaud once again the New Pittsburgh Courier for the on-site interview and kicking it out online, it's on Twitter, Facebook, all the fancy stuff. You can see Kevin Cameron and Bill Neal interviewing the new coach, Jeff Capel, and Capel. It is. And I'm having a hard time with that. And
you'll get used to it, though,
and,
Bill.
And I'm looking forward to it, because I'll tell you this in all sincerity, really nice guy, really down to earth, really articulate, well-spoken, thoughtful. I think he hit all the questions asked to him out the park. I think he handled it very well.
And let me add this as well. And this is perfect timing based on the national championship game last night, Villanova. And I mentioned, I'm not sure what's going on in Philly, but Philly's getting it done right now. But regarding the Villanova
the program, new city of champions you allude to.
I'm not saying that, but still. Villanova, national champions, 2nd year out of 3. So 1-2 out of the last 3. For all the
without cheating,
for all the Pitt haters or the people that are frustrated with the Pitt program, Villanova is very similar to Pitt from a standpoint. They're in the Big East. They're a place where you would think that maybe it's not a place where you could win a national championship. I've heard it many times that there's no way Pitt could win a national championship, that they really just need to focus in on one sport or the other, either basketball or football. We know in college athletics, football is where the money is made. That's the whole reason Pitt left the Big East and went to the ACC. But I'm here to say that Pitt could win a national championship on the basketball side as well, if the right program is put together the way Villanova has their program put together. So it is possible.
I agree.
And I think Pitt is on the right road to take that path in that direction. So we'll see what happens.
So, Darrell, again, last time I'm going to put you on the spot, maybe. How do you see this unfolding? Certainly we have to give Heather Light kudos, the athletic director at Pitt, for masterminding this thing, because nobody saw it coming. And apparently at the end of the day, she said it was in her mind between this coach and
Hurley.
And say it again.
Hurley.
Mm. So contrary to rumors that Sean Miller and all these other people had been asked, she said it was only those two people that were approached. So, as a former Division I basketball coach, how do you set this thing in motion? What do you suspect is going to be his modus operandi?
Well, hopefully he can bring in one of those top players who are available now to start off his tenure here. If he brings one of those top 50 players who's still available, it immediately puts his credibility there and shows that he could go get the top players. And then if he gets a couple transfers, some players, you have to remember, McConnell transferred to Arizona. Mm-hmm. People didn't think that he could fit out there, and now he's a 10-year pro.
Right. And
so if he could bring some people who fit into how he wants to play, then I think that it could be a nice turnaround.
And I think that's an excellent answer, Darrell, but Bill said he would put you on the spot. I don't think he put you on the spot. Maybe I need to put you on the spot. All right, because, you know, that was a softball question. I want to know if you talked to Coach Capel, and if so, did you ask him for a job? Or are you trying to get on the bench with them? You know, a lot of people has been trying to get an assistant coaching job. So what's going on?
Well, I can tell you this, that he and I have spoken, and basically I told him that he wanted to do some volunteer work in the community, and I could make it a lot easier for him. We already have some programs going on, and in any way I could help, let me know. And he said, I'm going to be back in touch with you within 3 weeks. So it's only been maybe a week now.
All right, because we're hearing names like Brandon Knight as well. Mm-hmm.
Wait, how is that good information? He didn't answer the question.
Well, he said he spoke to him.
Well, didn't you ask him if he wanted a coaching job?
I did.
Did he answer that question?
But he gave me
now
a
who's
political,
throwing the softballs
he gave
now?
Me a political oh, answer. But at least I put him on the spot.
You let him off. You let him off.
At least I put him on the spot.
You let him off the spot.
Okay, because I don't throw softball questions.
Darrell, do you want to coach at Pitt?
I would love to go back to help out in some capacity. I was talking with Sam Clancy a couple of weeks ago, like, maybe we could have like a life coach position where when the players come in, you can transition them into summer jobs, knowing the city. A lot of things are around the city, but when you're playing, you don't have that much time to get involved with maybe what a regular student would do. So getting a summer job and connecting with the right people would be a key. And then the way the rules are now, you can put time in on the court during the summer. So now you need somebody who's flexible, who could work those things out, and then a variety of different outlets because you don't know what each player is interested in.
Well, I think both of those are great ideas, and we're going to take a break momentarily, but I do want to conclude by thanking the New Pittsburgh Courier. But big thanks to Urban Media Today Radio, to which we come to you from all across these great lands from coast to coast. It's Soul Take Champions Live, and your host, Bill Neal, Kevin Cameron, and the top guests in Western Pennsylvania, or for that matter, in the nation, join us each and every week. And you can pick us up on Twitter, Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports and Urban Media Today Radio. And if you miss us on Twitter, our show drops, as they say, every Wednesday at 7 p.m. So you can listen to us on air, and you'll hear all this great wisdom and some of the stuff Kevin's saying at the same time. We're
good information.
That being said, we'll be back momentarily. Got to give you some info on your Pittsburgh Pirates and a little Connie Hawkins stuff. We're going to announce the Connie Hawkins Hall of Fame inductees for 2018, and a few other things. We'll be right back in a moment.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You could fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.